Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome back to another wonderful episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode number 210. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
Going on in, how are you? This looks like, from what I can tell, way back there. Looks like the holidays are upon us.
Nope, I'm backwards.
There you go.
Hey. Yes, it's beginning to look a lot like some festive holiday people celebrate.
Yes, I was trying to think of the winter solstice one. What's the one? I can't remember.
Oh, well. I don't know. It's Merry Krampus.
Yes.
How about that?
So
may your children be taken.
Oh, wow. Damn. All righty. Forget the coal. Actually, probably for some parents, maybe worth it. So we're starting this episode fantastic, which I like. So we're going to have a good episode actually this week. And we'll talk about actually, this is a kind of a recommended episode that we're going to talk about and stroll down memory lane. But before we get to there, I just got a little bit of business, if you will, to take care of. First of all, remember, follow us basically everywhere. We're on Podbean now as a hosting site. So we're excited about that. So yes, admittedly,
very, very cool.
During the transition, and I'm still working on it, but things are getting better. If you don't see us immediately or like see past episodes, trust me, they'll be back up there. But remember, there's like 1,000 different podcasting apps. So definitely you can check out another one in the meantime. Mm-hmm. Then you can bounce back to your favorite one. And of course, we're on YouTube and Instagram. And on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button. Please, please, definitely. It helps out, I think, more than the views, as I've mentioned before. So definitely hit those thumbs ups, because we want that algorithm to be all about the Retro Gamers.
Sure.
And of course, we want to give a big shout out to the contest winner, Jason, the episode 200 shout out contest winner. He received his gorgeous, beautifully signed copy of Space Invaders Invincible Collection on the Switch. And I don't think he has a Switch. So
he really just did that for the autograph. Which makes even sadder. I'm sorry, Jason.
No, he does. Yes, he has one. But I told him too. I'm like, do you want me to autograph it for you? And he's like, sure. I was like, okay.
With all the enthusiasm I would expect.
So congratulations again, Jason, on that. Hope you enjoy it. And then couple things real quick. First of all, we had a very busy couple of days for a contest that we barely touched for the last few months. We were kind of busy the last couple of days.
What were we busy doing again?
Completing video games.
Oh yeah, that thing. When you were saying contest, I was like, wait, because we had just talked about another potential contest before we started recording. Okay, and yeah. I'm like, where are you going with this? Yes. So for those of you who do or do not know, we've brought it up a few times throughout the year. There was a big lull for a while. Larry and I do a bet every year, and it's a contest of some kind. Usually Josh from Victims and Villains comes up with the contest for us, but this year we came up with it on our own, I believe.
Because we're smart.
Well, not only that, I think it may give Larry a better chance of winning, because every time Josh picks a contest, I win.
I'm 0-2. So
you're 0-2.
And those contests cost me a lot of money.
Yes, they did. So right. And now this one doesn't necessarily cost either of us any money, because we both have a ton of games we haven't completed. So the idea was, whoever can beat the most retro games this year would win the contest. And then the loser would have to buy the winner an item worth about $100. That's pretty much what we do. Yeah, that's about what we do every year. So, and then because of situations beyond their control this year, and per accordance with the CDC, they advised us to extend our contest. So
I didn't realize the CDC told us that.
Oh yeah, no, they weighed in and everything.
That's official.
I talked to the CDC, the Justice Department, the NSA, the CIA. They were all in agreement that we should extend our contest into 2021, since 2020 doesn't count. Nothing that happened this year counts. I never moved to Florida. Like, as soon as January 1st, 2021 hits, I literally am going to be transported back to where I was earlier this year.
Have you, real quick, you ever see those memes when they're talking about, like, a countdown, December 31st, 2020, like 11:59, 3, 2, everyone's celebrating New Year's, 3, two, one, round two.
Yeah, that's basically where we're going. So anyway, the point of all of this is that Larry and I agreed a couple months ago that we're going to extend this specific contest into 2021 mm-hmm. because distractions, things kind of, you know, look, yeah. stuff happened. We really we kind of fell off our game here, literally. So our contest will continue into 2021. However, the lull that we've both been having in terms of beating retro games seems to has ended because we have both picked up with beating some retro games, if I'm yes. not mistaken, Larry.
And I feel like the games that we beat were kind of by happenstance. Like, I don't think we were really exploring. I don't know about you. I know me. I was just playing, and I got far enough. I'm like, you know what? Let's keep mm-hmm. going.
Yeah, mine was more, well, the first one, just to go through it really quickly, Dragon's Lair, a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. I just was in the mood. Like, I had just got my PS5 and I was really happy with it. And I'm like, oh, cool. I got my PS5. What do I feel like doing? I feel like playing Dragon's Lair on PS4.
So backwards.
Yeah. So I went backwards.
So this podcast is about,
well, anyway. Actually, yeah, exactly. So, but I think I played it on my PS5, if I'm not mistaken. Oh. So I installed Dragon's Lair on my PS5, and I played and I live streamed it on YouTube and played through it until mm-hmm. I beat it. So if you check out our YouTube page, you can see my playthrough of the original Dragon's Lair. So, and that in and of itself allowed me to tie the score for the year with Larry, because we had stopped a long time ago, yeah. and it was like 6-5. Mm-hmm. Dragon's Lair put me up at 6, so we yes. were tied. Then, yes, Thursday happened. So this past Thursday, my friend Rich, who has been on the podcast before and has filled in for Larry, mm-hmm. He said, you know, we had talked about, hey, do you want a game on Thursday night? So I'm like, sure, absolutely. What do you feel like playing? He's like, do you have the Capcom Beat-em-up bundle on your PlayStation? I said, no, but I will in a few minutes. So bought it, downloaded it. It was on sale. So we decided to play
game.
That.
It's really good.
Yeah,
game.
Yeah. So it's got a bunch of good games on there. So we downloaded that. And then we also downloaded Ticket to Ride. We played Ticket to Ride, which, you know.
Yes, I have that on the Xbox 360.
I have it on my Xbox as well. But now it's on sale right now on PlayStation for $5. So just grabbed it. For those of you who don't know, Ticket to Ride is a very popular board game. That I love. I have the board game, but they also have it on on consoles.
Yeah,
it's really cool. And there are different versions of it. Mm-hmm. So we played a little Ticket to Ride, and then we went into Capcom Beat-em-up bundle. And we're like, okay, I've never played, I think, almost every game on there except for like two. The two that I played were Final Fight and Captain Commando. So I'm mm-hmm. like, okay. So Rich and his friend Jack were on, and so we were like, okay, let's just play one. So we threw on Captain Commando. Okay. And if you don't know what these games are, like the Capcom beat 'em up bundles, they're basically all different versions of like Streets of Rage. So basically. It's kind of like the same code. It's a side-scrolling beat 'em up. You go through the levels until you complete the game.
Mm-hmm.
So we started up with Captain Commando. And again, like the last time I played Captain Commando was in the arcade like 30 years ago.
I don't think I've ever played Captain Commando.
Yeah, like almost 30 years. I mean, it came out in like the early 90s, like 92, mm-hmm. 93-ish or whatever. So yeah, and I remember playing it like very briefly. It was definitely not like a game I always ran to.
Yeah.
But we started playing through Captain Commando, and it's like, oh, you know what? It's like, you know, obviously these games are a lot easier to play through on console when you're not pumping in True. Quarters and your parents aren't telling you no more.
Yeah.
So we got through Captain Commando, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. I go, you know, it took us like half an hour or whatever. Cause these games, when you have unlimited continues, they're not that difficult to beat.
Mm-hmm.
So plowed through Captain Commando, and then we're like, okay, look, what do you want to play next? And then there was another game on there called Knights of the Round.
Yes.
Never heard of it before. So basically it's the Knights of the Round Table, and you play as either Arthur, Lancelot, or Percival. So, and because there were three of us, obviously, we each picked one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, lo and behold, we got through that game too. So I was like, all right, so that's two more games on the retro list for me that I've completed, which brings me up to a whopping 8 on the year, which is kind of sad when you think about it. But
yeah, hey. For everything granted.
Yes.
Worthwhile. So you do that and you told me, I'm like, oh, sweet. You know, again, both great games. I think because I have the beat 'em up on the Switch, the beat 'em up collection. Didn't realize it was online co-op. And I know me and Mario, because buddy Mario's been on the show. He lives in the apartment downstairs. We've beaten a couple of games on there, but I believe it was last year. So obviously it's not going to count towards this year's contest. But we got through a couple of those. So when you told me that you beat these two games, I'm like, sweet, awesome. So you're up two. And then I started playing actually yesterday again with Mario. We ordered some dinner. We were just hanging out. And we just, all right, let's just kill some time to play Streets. You know, we'll play Streets of Rage. Mm-hmm. His daughter had her Xbox One over. So just waiting for the food to show up. We just saw playing Streets of Rage. I stink at Streets of Rage. He's good. He's really good. But with me helping, it don't help any.
Mm-hmm.
But it was.
No, like, I know. I've played games with you.
Yes, totally. It's terrible. Back then. Now, remember, I'm a little better. A little better. So as we're playing, though, as we're waiting for the food to show up, we're like, oh, we're actually getting through this. And we're doing really good. Ultimately, when the food showed up, we're like, food's still hot. We got some extra time, even though we could have paused the game. So we kind of kept going. That's how far into the game we got, to the point where, yeah, we ended up completing Streets of Rage. And only, I think I only got through like two of my continues, which wasn't bad at all. And that was near the end of the game. I'm like, oh, this ain't bad at all. So bottom line, out of nowhere, didn't even plan on it, beat Streets of Rage. I'm like, that's a first and one of the few Genesis games I've ever beaten. So as
congratulations.
Well, thank you. As much as you may have started to, you know, take off with the lead, I'm once again nipping at your heels. So yes. Officially, where are we at now?
Well, at this point now, this is the first time I have actually taken the lead. You've actually always been in the lead this year by like one game. So now we're basically 8-7. So okay. I've beaten 8, you've beaten 7. So we're, you know, right there.
That's where we're at. I kind of feel it in me now to be like, all right, you know what? Maybe we can move forward with this, you know?
Yeah. And I'm in agreement there because like with all these bundles and stuff now that I have it, I'm like, oh, okay, you know what? These games aren't that super complicated to get through. And not only that, I would like to end this year. I know we only have like a few weeks left, like 3 weeks left.
Yep.
I would like to end this year beating 12 games. So I can say on average, I beat one a month, even though I will have beaten 6 of them this month.
That's why it's an average.
I'm sorry, 7 of them this month. Oh no, Dragon Slayer was last month. So 6 of them. Right. So.
All right. Well worth it. Well, we are on our way. Also, just real quick, couple of things to talk about retro. First of all, a recent AVGN episode, he showed off the Angry Video Game Nerd, the Taito collections 1 and 2, for our Xbox, the original Xbox and the PS2. Between the two games, I think it was like 68 games between two discs.
Damn.
I feel like I own this collection, but when he was going through the games, it's like, I don't remember 3/4 of these games being on those discs. Mm-hmm. One of which was Raystar, which I bought recently for the original PlayStation for a good amount of money.
A lot of money, yeah, because Raystar's hard to find.
So, but nevertheless, it kind of got me itching. I'm like, ooh, I got to see if I have the Taito collection. And if not, that might be on my list for a game on trip.
Very, very cool.
Oh, yeah?
No, I said
I'm sorry. Very cool. Also, just real quick, also to note on the Switch, Tetris 99 right now is running another one of their Maximus, as they call them, contest, but you can unlock a new theme.
Oh, cool.
As you like, you get like 100 points. It's by the time this drops, it's already over. But Ant for you. And the theme is Super Mario All-Stars from the Super Nintendo.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You know, so. I have to renew my Switch online. Like my Switch has gone dormant for a good chunk of this year. I'm not going to lie. I've been mostly on my PlayStation 4. With the Mario 3D All-Stars, I'm starting to pick up my Switch again. So I'll probably wind up going back because I still haven't played, was it Super Mario 35?
Oh yeah. That's a fun one.
I've not played it yet.
So, definitely check out Tetris 99 anyway.
Definitely.
And a game that I actually bought on the Xbox only because it was on sale as opposed to the Switch. And also it's in 4K. I'm going to tell you this right now. It's a newer game. Well, newer compared to what we talk about. Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night.
Yes, I bought it also.
Oh, if you love Castlevania Symphony of the Night, mm-hmm. purchase Bloodstained, even if it's not on sale. Game is phenomenal.
Yeah. Phenomenal. And if I can throw another one out here, since it was it a free game last month or was it this? No, I think it was last month. If you picked up Hollow Knight Void Edition.
That might be this month. December now.
Yeah, it's December. Yeah. Last month it was free on PS4 and I think PS5.
Yep.
I played it through on the Switch. It is one of the best Metroidvania games I've ever played.
Yep, I downloaded that. I'm going to work on that. And finally, I got it right here. So a couple of weeks ago, I picked up the game. Why is that warm? There's no batteries in it. Uh-oh. I picked up a Game Boy printer along with the Game Boy camera and all that stuff.
Nice.
Got it finally working. It wasn't working for a moment, but I got it working. But the paper is the original Game Boy paper. And of course, it's awesome, but it doesn't print anymore. It kind of expires. But I did some research, and there are people who sell new rolls of new paper.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So, which I think really is just standard receipt paper, really. But
that's what it looks like.
But so I ordered a couple of rolls of new, brand new paper to really try and get this going. So in 2021, here's my new camera.
Well, the real I was going to say, the real question is, are you still going to be able to buy ink for it?
It's thermal.
Oh,
yeah. So I don't think that's an issue. Cool. And with that, those are the quick hits. So
my two quick hits. There are a couple of purchases.
Okay.
One's a new thing and one is an accessory for my home. But I picked this up because it was on sale at GameStop for the holiday season. Star Wars Squadrons.
Yes.
Which plays fully in VR.
I heard.
And I believe you can also do multiplayer in VR.
Ooh,
so
that's interesting.
Yeah, so my friend Mike picked it up and he told me it was on sale. So I grabbed it also because he's got a PSVR. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna try this out and see how it works.
I really gotta hook up my VR again.
You do. It's awesome. I know. And then the second thing, I've had my eye on this for a very long time. And on Black Friday, I finally took advantage. It was 25% off. And it is a perfect thing to purchase if you have a lot of the mini systems. If NES mini, Super Nintendo mini, so on and so forth. Because they all need a USB plug, right?
Yes.
So from New Wave Toys, I got my change machine.
Oh, that is big. That is a lot bigger than I thought it was going
to
be.
I've got my change machine, which is which holds up to 6 USB slots.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6, and one is a USB 3.
Yeah, and one's a USB 3.
Wow, so, that is a lot bigger than I. That is the size of your head.
That is the size of my head.
That is awesome. Is it heavy?
It's got some weight to it. Okay. It's a cool little paperweight too.
That is.
So you just, obviously you just plug it into the wall and then you can power.
Oh, there's an on-off switch. Perfect.
Yep, on-off switch, and you can power 6 USBs.
That's
actually. It looks really awesome.
I was going to say, does it make noise? Like, does it have.
No, it doesn't make noise or anything like that. This little thing moves, but that's about it. But still, come on. Like this came and I'm like, yeah, you know what? This is where it even has like the little. Temporarily out of service thing up there.
I should light that. It probably lights up when you turn it on. So you know.
Oh, maybe I haven't plugged it in yet. Yeah. So
that is huge.
Yeah. So I'm very, very happy with this. So
I might have to get myself one of those.
Yeah. It was on sale for $45.
All right, good. Makes sense. So I buy it at full price. Okay.
Yeah, you'll buy it at full price.
Wow, I like that a lot. Okay.
So very cool. They have obviously comes with a start guide. Actually, I should probably just look in here really quickly to see.
Do not hook up the minis to it.
Package contents, USB charge machine. Oh, and 12 mini tokens.
What?
Where are the mini tokens?
Uh-oh.
I didn't get those.
Tell me it's in the box that you threw away.
No, I still have the box. All right, I got to go back and look in the box. All right, so it comes with little little tokens that you can put in the
exactly in the slot here. Oh, that's good for the cats.
I was going to say, my cats will ingest them, and then we'll have some surgery. And you are correct. That temporary out of service is LED. Indicator. Yep, okay. LED. It has an adjustable lock, which is what this thing is. I don't know what that means.
Adjustable lock.
Wait, an adjustable lock. Does this open in some way that I don't know?
Oh, the coins inside? Will it actually give you four quarters for a dollar?
Well, that's what I want. Like, I want to put a dollar in it and see what happens. Coin catcher, four nuts. Okay, cool. Yeah, so that's it. So that was my big purchase. And I got to play around with that.
All right. That is awesome.
Yeah. No, very happy with that purchase.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So with that being said, yes. Folks, it is now time to stroll down memory lane. Time of years gone by. I was going to say, I am slowly starting to forget.
I forget everything.
Like sands through an hourglass, something goes somewhere.
Yes. So are the months of the years. Or something like that.
So we have a lot of times we do get inspiration from our fans, from our listeners, from one guy who lives in the tri-state area who constantly texts us and be like, well, why don't you guys play games? So
actually lately it's, why aren't you playing Avengers?
I know. Well, look, that one, he's right.
He is right. And I
agree with him on that.
I really need to buy it.
So a friend of ours, Fernando, out there in international waters, Zero Scroll. You can find him on Instagram, Zero Scroll or Zero's Crawl. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one it is. Asked us, he's like, hey, can you guys maybe, you know, kind of talk about your time with Sega? We're always, I don't know what's going on with my camera. I'm sorry, folks. It's just the lighting.
That's okay. Oh, my cat's going to attack.
You know, you guys are Nintendo heavy, which we are, and we admit that's what we mostly grew up with, and that's what we like. Mm-hmm. But we both have some good memories of Sega and the...
Or for some of us, Sega.
The systems that came from that company, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Again, it's just memories, just our fond, you know, way back when of playing this other rival system to dare make its way into our homes.
It didn't dare make its way into our homes. It
didn't mind.
I was just going to say, it was more than welcome in my mind. Well, you were a Nintendo snob, so that was your thing.
Afford so much back then.
What?
We could only afford so much back then.
Oh, I went Nintendo. Please. Whatever. You were a Nintendo snob. Me, on the other hand, I was an equal opportunity gamer. So it did not matter to me. I had, you know, I had Atari, I had Nintendo, I had Sega. Obviously Sony. Mm-hmm. So I did run the gamut with the systems, except for the CDI. Ooh. And the Neo Geo was too expensive.
Oh my God, Neo Geo, forget about it. Yeah. So the Sega series, I think it's safe to say we both started with Genesis, right?
We definitely started with Genesis. Because, you know, I didn't know, I guess I was too young to even acknowledge the Master System as a system that existed.
Yeah, I really don't remember the Master System back then.
Well, the only reason why I remember is because a friend of mine had it. I had an NES, he had a Master System, and I remember playing a couple of games at his house.
Okay.
But I also remember playing a couple of games at his house and saying, I like my Nintendo better. Oh,
oh, hello.
I was like, I like my Nintendo better. So so that's, you know, obviously that was my choice. But yeah, no, I do remember the Sega Master System in that sense.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't remember seeing the Master System in stores. I don't remember seeing it, like, in the Sears catalog or the JCPenney Christmas catalog. Oh, Christmas catalog.
Oh, I missed the catalogs.
So, yeah, so I never really knew that the Master System even existed, but definitely when the Genesis came out, which, of course, rival the Super Nintendo, you know, there I saw the commercials, and I'm like, ooh, this thing is interesting. What is this weird blue hedgehog running around the screen? But I was still happy.
Super with fast.
Very fast. Blast processing.
Yes.
Probably one of the biggest false advertisings I think there was.
It worked.
It sure did. So as much as I love the Super Nintendo, there eventually became a time where I go, you know what? I think it's time to go with a Genesis. Can you remember? There's always the game that got you to get a system that wasn't like in your main artery of games. Like Nintendo was always guaranteed for me. I was going to get a new Nintendo system, but to get something else until I got older and I made adult money and then I just spent whatever I want. There was always that game that came out that made you get the system. Was there a game that got you to get a Genesis.
Oh yeah, no question about it. And it's a very predictable one, of course, but Sonic. Sonic okay. was the one that made me get the system.
Did it?
Okay. Yeah. Well, there was, you know, there were two, but I didn't buy the system until Sonic was the pack-in game. But mm-hmm. I do remember wanting the system because Altered Beast came with it originally. And I remember I used to play Altered Beast to death at Pronto Pizzeria around the corner from my house because they had that.
I just passed there the other week.
Yeah, I miss Pronto. but yeah, so that's what so that was what first piqued my interest. But when Sonic came out, I needed that system.
Okay. Yeah. For me, it was Bloodlines, Castlevania Bloodlines.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
I saw Sonic. Don't get me wrong. Sonic looked like an awesome game. But when I heard about, and I probably like in GamePro or something, or an EGM, mm-hmm. When I saw Bloodlines, I was like, oh, and this is like coming off the heels of Castlevania 4, Super Castlevania mm-hmm. 4, which I loved when it came out. I'm like, all right, another Castlevania game. You're not playing as a Belmont, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And admittedly, the graphics looked a little bit better. I guess just my 14 or 13 year old self saw that. So Bloodlines definitely was the one. Of course, I'd have to wait for Christmas because that's usually when Santa would bring all those high-end gifts. And I was lucky enough to get a Genesis, which had already Sonic in it, I believe. And then Castlevania Bloodlines, and that's kind of where I just took off running with the Genesis.
I was gonna say, there were so many games on there. Well, first off, there were a lot of games on there that kind of overlapped with Nintendo too. So,
oh yeah, of course.
So it was like you had to look and see like what were the exclusives on Genesis that made you want them.
Well, actually, let me ask you this: before the exclusives, you're right. There were a lot of games that came out on both systems that made you make a choice. Mm-hmm. Did you ever lean one way or another because of the system, or did you lean one way or another because of the game? Like, for example, the two that pop out of my head would be Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat series.
Yes, and Mortal Kombat was definitely on Genesis for me because of Blood.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo did not put Blood in the game, and mm-hmm. that for Mortal Kombat is just inexcusable. So
until Mortal Kombat 2, of course. Yes. But then again, you get something like Street Fighter 2, which made more sense on the Super Nintendo because at the time you had the six buttons.
Yes. So Street Fighter, if I remember, well, at that point when I had gotten Mortal Kombat, I think the six button
controller already been.
I think the six button controller came out because of Mortal Kombat and Street
Fighter. Eventually, you're right. It came out because of, I think, more Street
Fighting
Fighter.
Games.
Fighting games. Mm-hmm. But for a little while, though, you only had the three button controller. Which was also odd, actually. You see where Sega was going, but it was like that third button was always, I always felt it weird. And the controller, the original controller, was a little too big and bulky, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The original. When the six button controller came out, they actually kind of shrunk the controller.
They did. And it was a lot easier. It was a lot more comfortable in your hand. So.
Yes. Even to today's standards, even with these big giant mitts. Six button controls easy. So saying,
but then again, what are we talking about? It's like we over the course of the years we've played with giant monstrous freaking controllers like Dreamcast and Xbox.
Oh god, we'll get to that. So you're talking about exclusives. Definitely, well, Castlevania Bloodlines was one exclusive, mm-hmm. And then which I can't remember what prompted me to get Shining Force because I was never an RPG fan really. Yeah. I'm not too much even to today's standards, but somehow Shining Force ended up in my house and I fell in love with it, as I mentioned before.
Yes.
To me, Shining Force is one of the greatest RPGs of all time. And in my opinion and yours. So I don't know how it made it into the system, into the house, but Shining Force then led to Shining Force 2 for an exclusive on that one. And then beyond that, I would say exclusively... there you go. Shining Force. Anthony's showing the Shining Force box.
Yes, the original. That. Do I have the? I do not have the instruction book.
Oh, what about a receipt? Is there a receipt in there?
No, there is no receipt. Oh, okay. This is probably a repurchase. This is probably a repurchase. But yeah, no, I'm
the box looks too clean.
Yeah, the box is very clean, actually. But yeah, I mean, this was the first game. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember playing any RPG, any true RPGs on the NES.
No, neither did I. They were there.
Zelda was more of an
action.
More like an action adventure because yeah, exactly. You weren't leveling up the character as much as you were collecting items to help him. So Shining Force to me, I think, was my real first foray into RPG because I did not get into Final Fantasy until 7.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those guys where people are like, you're not a true Final Fantasy fan because you're the one that just played 7. And I'm like, no, I played 7, I played 8, and then now I'm not playing any of them. But Shining Force to me, I think it was the first RPG, and immediately I'm like, oh, okay, I've been missing out on like a whole genre that I didn't know existed that I now love. So
actually, when I was done with Shining Force, I'm like, this is a genre I do not want to go back to. I took so long to beat this.
Yeah. Well, and that was the other thing too. It's like, we weren't used to games that took forever to get through. You know what I mean? It's like a game with a long story where you had to save. And again, yeah, to your point, it was like an epic adventure. Like, we would play games where it's like, they're super hard, but there aren't a ton of levels to them. Yeah. And you can get through them in under an hour. This was like the first game where it's like, I needed to commit, I don't know how many hours to it to get through, but it was worth the adventure.
And back then, and I say this is an issue with a lot of things today, our attention span was a lot longer back then. Society today, just attention span is so small.
Yeah.
I'm shocked there's still games coming out that take 15, 16 hours to play.
Forget about 15, 16 hours. I was reading something online, actually just yesterday, from a video game site. Mm-hmm. It may have been GameSpot or something else, but basically they were saying like which games you should play. Like, in other words, like if you want to beat games, should you invest your time in a long game or a bunch of short games? And they were actually saying that with the way attention spans are, you are more likely to put down a shorter game than you are a longer game, which I found very interesting.
That's weird.
Yeah, and it's almost like reverse psychology in a way, where it's like, in other words, that this game isn't going to take long to play, get through. So there are tendencies to just put it down because you want to save it. Perfect example.
Oh, I see.
Like Miles Morales right now, I haven't played it in a couple of weeks because I know it's short and I want to space it out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like there's another game I've been playing called The Talos Principle, which is a puzzle game. Like, I can't put it down because it's taking me long. I know it's taking me a longer time to get through. So I've been investing more time in the longer game than I am in the shorter game. So then I read this article and I'm like, oh, that kind of makes sense. But when you're talking about time-wise, like, perfect example, Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Oh, the new one?
Yeah. According to this site, it takes about 117 hours to complete, which is insane when you think about that.
That doesn't even want me to purchase it.
Well, that, and that's what it was with me too, because I'm like, that's like a 6 month investment for me, easy.
So, yeah, that I can't even think of that.
Yeah,
all right.
But anyway,
let's go back to simpler times. You know, some of course the Sonic games exclusive.
Sonic games. I have what do I have here? Because I pulled out my games because I
did
was like,
you?
What right. are the games to talk about? So like Sonic. When I want to talk about Sonic, it's actually funny because I don't know if I have the original Sonic anymore.
Oh.
I don't see it in my collection, but I do have Sonic 2.
There you go.
So,
is that not for resale?
That is the not for resale one. Hey.
You know, those a lot of people collect those versions. That's a big
yeah, because yeah. I think they're are they? I don't know if they're rare or what.
Not as much. I don't know if it's much rare. Just they just kind of like just cool to have.
Not for resale. Yeah, and speaking of not for resale, this is since you talked about Streets of Rage 1, I have the not for resale copy of Streets of Rage 2.
Look at that! Look how they just blast that not for resale practically right over the entire.
Yeah, because at one point this was a pack-in game.
No. True.
Yeah,
and so, to think, you know, yeah, back then it took such effort into being like, look, you can't resell this. Meanwhile, you probably bought it secondhand.
I dropped Streets of Rage 2 instead.
And speaking of Streets of Rage, I think I had the first Streets of Rage. Mm-hmm. I don't think I had the second or third Streets of Rage.
I always had, I had two and I had three. I never had one, actually.
Oh, that's funny.
And since you brought this up earlier, Castlevania Bloodlines, still, this I do know is my original copy of it.
Okay.
And I've kept it in great condition.
Very cool.
Including booklet.
Ah, nice.
No receipt, though. Well, I think at this time I wasn't buying them myself. See, I kept the receipts when I was buying them myself.
Yeah, so. That was like 94. But,
yeah, this was was it 94? Let's see. I think so. Where's the year? Yeah, 94. Right on the money. There you go. But yeah, so you talked about bloodlines, share that. But then to your point, when it came to games that were on both systems, Genesis and Super Nintendo, it's like, which way did you go? And I don't remember which way I went with this one. Actually, I didn't start buying these until 96, so I had to go backwards to buy this. NHL 94, which is considered the definitive NHL game.
That's true.
Especially for retro. And not only do I have... Surprise. So the booklet is not in here, but I have the poster.
Oh, cool.
I have the EA Sports poster.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Yep. If it's in the game, it's in the game. And it wasn't specific to a sport.
No, clearly not. It's baseball.
Yep. But then on the back, you can see all the games that they have.
Ah, what was coming out? What was the hot game of the season?
All right, so let's see. Introducing four-way play. So F-22 Interceptor, Advanced Tactical Fighter, LHX Attack Chopper. And then remember, Sega's claim to fame was getting sports stars.
Yes, big time.
To sponsor their games. So when you look at the list of their sports games, you have Bill Walsh, college football.
Okay.
NHL 94. Madden NFL 94, mm-hmm. The very first FIFA soccer.
Oh,
Tony La Russa baseball, PGA Tour Golf 2, and then Bulls versus Blazers and the NBA playoffs, which I also have. And I also have the sequel, Bulls versus Lakers.
Yeah, I remember you had those. I'm like, why do you have these?
Yeah,
because we weren't big sports fans.
I was not a big sports fan, but. For some reason, I enjoyed the basketball games, and I enjoyed the hockey game, and I have a bunch of football games too that I play.
Fair enough.
I just I don't watch a lot of sports. And then they had "Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?"
Ooh.
Which I did not own, but I did own this one for some reason. "Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego?"
I think I had that on Nintendo.
A game called Power Monger, which I don't remember. No. It's similar to Populous if you've ever played Populous.
Oh, okay.
And then going to action games, Jungle Strike, which you know well.
Yes.
Super Baseball 2020, General Chaos, Mutant League Football.
Mm.
I remember that. Desert Strike, Return to the Gulf.
That's the one, actually.
Road Rash 2, Bob, Mutant League Hockey, Blades of Vengeance, Technoclash, James Pond 3, Operation Starfish. And a game that I enjoyed way more than I should have, Haunting, starring Poltergeist.
I remember you playing that a lot. Yes, I do remember that.
I don't know why. There was something about scaring a family out of their home that I really enjoyed. You would think I had a horrible childhood or something. Which I will admit, I did not.
To go back,
I was just a horrible person.
This
wait, and just to end off really quickly, the other thing that made me say, ooh, in the box are the two NHL 94 cards that came with it.
Ooh, that made, who are they?
And not only that, it's Marty McSorley and Eric Lindros. So actually two big names.
One of those names.
Yes.
That might be worth something.
Could be. But
and you kept them in really good condition.
Yeah, they're just chilling in here.
Interesting.
And also, if I want to write to EA, I have their, I can order their sportswear.
Oh, wow. 1994, look at that.
If you want me to. Or I can register. Register now. You'll be sent pre-release information on new video games and other special offers.
Remember registering games? Remember that?
Look, there's the address.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you send it in. See what happens.
Yeah, I should. I should definitely do that. Let's see what happens. They'll laugh at me. They'll be like, dude, how old are you?
You know, you brought up a good memory real quick with Desert Strike. Desert Strike was one of the two games that actually where my family would play. My dad. He was totally into Desert Strike. It was that or Dr. Mario. I'd wake up on a Saturday morning.
Only on only on our podcast would you get to watch my cat cleaning himself.
No, of course. No, that's it's big time. That's what's called a seller.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, definitely Desert Strike. I mean, he definitely owned that game. I think he literally owned, I think that might be the only game he actually purchased for himself. Now that I think about it.
Rightfully so.
Yep. As much as Dr. Mario helped his PTSD, Desert Strike definitely lended to his PTSD. So
yeah, see, I don't think my family got past Tetris. Like the newer systems, they didn't really focus on, but like they were just all hooked on Tetris.
You know, Sega has a good history of puzzle games. You know, you mentioned Tetris. For me, Columns, I played a lot.
Oh yeah.
Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, another classic game. And even going into you know, Genesis and then Sega CD, and then the Dreamcast, because unfortunately a lot of us really didn't have the Saturn. We kind of skipped out on the Saturn. But for all the generations, you know, Sega was able to keep its core by adapting their core games, like Sonic over the years.
Yeah.
Other than like the offshoots like Sonic R and weird ones like that. You know, really, I mean, think about it. Sonic on Genesis, the original, fantastic. Sonic CD, one of the best games ever.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. I still haven't gotten all the endings in that.
Yeah. And Sonic Adventure, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Again, skipping the Saturn purposely.
Yeah, skipping. Well, I mean, Sonic never made it to the Saturn, unfortunately.
There may have been a port, but
there may have been a port, but they never really made it to the
Saturn, like a,
which was a big mistake. Sonic Adventure, which I have here for Dreamcast, which is so absolutely fantastic.
Sega definitely took care of like their first party games, or IPs, if you will. Mm-hmm. But
their third party is where they shined.
No, exactly, that's what I want to say.
Third party,
like you're saying, NHL 94. For me, hockey, the definitive hockey game for me was the year prior, NHL PA 93.
Right,
and I played that one obsessively. And then there was a game on the Genesis that we all got that to this day I still can't figure out why we picked it up and why we fell in love with it.
I know where you're going,
and it's PGA Tour Golf, PGA Tour 3. And it's the weirdest thing because none of us really played golf. I kind of dabbled in it, but we ended up buying PGA Tour 3 to the point where like we would call each other like, hey, look, you know, like how far did you get? I'm on this course now, this, that. And like it became, when I say an obsession, you always get that one game that you can't put down. For some reason, PGA Tour was one of those games.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. I don't understand that either. There were only two golf games I ever purchased. One was PGA Tour 3, and the other one was PGA Tour 96 on my computer.
Okay.
And I would play it on my PC. I don't remember if there was an online element to that or not. I know NHL 96, there was an online element too, but okay. I remember, PGA 96. And yeah, there's no reason why. We would have bought those, except for I remember trying out for the golf team in high school, but I was terrible at it. So.
Well, the team itself was not that good. I was it got me a letter. Like, do your holiday season, which we're in right now, right? Did you end up usually getting more like Nintendo or like more Sega? Because for a little while, Sega actually was dominating my Christmas seasons.
Yeah, you know what? I don't remember exactly. I want to say it was still a little more on the Nintendo side because Nintendo was coming out with one of the big things about both systems that wound up becoming appealing to me is my love for comic book games.
Yes,
and you know, at the time, Nintendo and Sega licensed Marvel, and they were putting out for the most part completely different games depending on the system. So like for Super Nintendo, it was like they did awesome games like Spider-Man Maximum Carnage and Spider-Man Return of the Sinister Six, X-Men and Spider-Man Arcade's Revenge. They didn't carry over. Like I remember X-Men and Spider-Man Arcade's Revenge was available on Genesis and Super Nintendo. But for some reason, like that was the only one. Like the other ones, it's like you had to buy on their respective systems. So like the Spider-Man game was on Sega Genesis. The Spider-Man versus Kingpin was on Sega CD. One of my favorite, or two of my favorite Marvel games that wound up on the Genesis only, X-Men and X-Men 2 Clone Wars,
yes,
was Genesis only. And I remember this was a Christmas gift I had gotten at one point. Now, granted, I had to rebuy it, but, you know, but this is one. But again, this game with the instruction booklet, which is nice. Oh, no.
Oh, there it goes.
And it's broken.
Oh,
no, it's fine. The stupid box. But it also, I remember this game was so difficult that it actually came with, if you open the poster, right, you got the cover of the game.
Nice.
Cool. But on the other side, it actually told you how to get through the game.
Oh, wow. So yeah. Walkthrough.
They give you a walkthrough on the poster if you didn't. Now, I remember hanging the poster on my wall.
Yeah.
So I couldn't access the walkthrough. But yeah, they literally gave you a walkthrough all the way to the end.
That's
insane. They did not tell you one of the most important things, which was in level five for Mojo, when you get to the end of the board, Professor X shows up and he says, oh, in order to, you know, he says something a little bit cryptic, but he basically tells you, to continue in the game, you have to reset the game. Now, when you're five levels into a game, right, that doesn't have continues or, you know, or save points, why would you ever press the reset button on your Genesis? But literally, the only way to get to level six was to press the reset button on your Genesis, and then it would switch over so you can go to level six, which was the final level in the game.
It's almost like a two-disc game.
Basically, so it kind of messed with your mind there, where it's like, press the reset button, and you're like, no, I don't want to start over to continue. But again, like the Marvel games on both systems were great, but you had to buy them for each system. X-Men Mutant Apocalypse was another one on Super Nintendo only.
Okay,
that I thought was awesome as well.
You know, you mentioned with the Spider-Man game, Spider-Man Maximum Carnage, a fantastic game.
Loved it.
And probably one of the few where I think you just mentioned, it was basically the same, I think, for the most part, on the Super Nintendo and on the Genesis, gameplay-wise. Of course, we can get into the sound and the music, which Super Nintendo, I think, had a little bit of an edge over that than Sega did, than the Genesis did. But games like The Adventures of Batman and Robin, you know, this is where, unfortunately, the Genesis doesn't hold up, in my opinion, and it's totally gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
These are two basically completely different games.
Yep.
Now, The Adventures of Batman and Robin on Super Nintendo is one of my favorite side-scrolling beat-em-ups that there is.
Me too. In fact, I don't have it. And I know it's hard to find, too.
Oh, it's a difficult one to find. But the gameplay is phenomenal. It's fluid. It looks beautiful. It's based on the old on the cartoon from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Genesis version is also a side scroller, but like you get to pick between Batman and Robin, which you don't do in the Super Nintendo version. And if, the levels are completely different. Where to the most, it's just a completely different game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, later I didn't realize that actually until recently, like when I started going to Game On.
Yep.
And I was repurchasing everything where I remember they kept saying, oh, well, Adventures of Batman and Robin is cheaper on Genesis than on Super Nintendo because it's so hard to find.
Right.
I'm like, all right, I guess I'll have to go with the Genesis version. And I tried it out just for fun. I'm like, this isn't the Adventures of Batman and Robin. It says it on the cover.
Yes,
so, you know, so even years later, realizing that there were a bunch of games that were just completely, completely different.
Yep.
Whereas then you have something like Aladdin. On Genesis, that was just somehow better than the Super Nintendo version.
Mm-hmm. Lion King as well.
Exactly. Like that two-pack that you can get now, you can see it for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and back then it just all came down to the developers and the deals that they made. And, you know, I'm sure both Nintendo and Sega wanted to have separate games for their systems because obviously they wanted to entice you to buy theirs.
No, of course.
As opposed to, hey, we both have the same exact game, so it doesn't matter which console you own. It's like, no, we want the better game, so we're going to give you, you know, we want you to make a separate game for us.
And I would say right around the middle of the lifespan of both these systems, in the beginning, it was totally Nintendo, totally Super Nintendo, always leaned towards that. I got to say near the middle to end of their cycle, there wasn't, for me at least, it was down the middle. It was kind of really just, you know, I'll see what happens. Like Genesis would go with the like the wackiness, like the lock-on Sonic and Knuckles.
Yep.
Where you could put Sonic 1 and 2 on into Sonic and Knuckles, and you can play as Knuckles in those old games, which I always thought was really cool. And then, of course, the Sega CD, and then that other 32X mushroom.
Yeah. Oh, that 32X mushroom. yeah, and speaking of Sega CD, just really quickly, just I pulled a few games out of my collection to show off. One, of course, Dragon's Lair.
Of course.
Which, again...
that's tough to play on Sega CD.
It's tough to play on Sega CD, but at the same time, it's like... being able to play an arcade game like Dragon's Lair on your Sega CD, totally awesome. And then, of course, NHL 94, which also came out on Sega CD, but it also had video.
Yes.
So you got to see like little video clips from the NHL. Again, great selling point if you wanted to buy this game again. Because I had it like, you know, if you had it on Genesis, you wanted to get it on Sega CD because, ooh, cool video stuff. And then, of course, other licensed stuff such as, and this one I had growing up too, and you were there, I think you were there when I bought this from Game Dude in LA, which was Star Wars Chess.
Oh, yes. Which well, the official title.
The Software Toolworks Star Wars Chess. They wanted to make sure you knew who made it. They wanted credit for it. But yeah, so Star Wars Chess, which I played like nuts. Like crazy because I was a chess nerd when I was growing up. Yeah. So one of the things my dad taught me that I actually really enjoyed.
There you go. Yeah. Which is awesome. Yeah. And you know, like simple games on the Sega CD kind of made their way to it. But you talk about the full motion video, like when Rage in the Cage came out, I'm like, oh, it's got full motion video. That's awesome. And it's 20 something players in it, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, there were 20 players in it, guys you would never seen in game. Yeah, 20 wrestlers in a game was unheard of. And we didn't even get to the wrestling discussion because I did pull out on my Genesis WWF Raw.
That's what I wanted to mention. So we're talking about, you know, games on both systems, but some difference. And I got to admit, even though at the time, I don't think I had the Genesis yet, but Super WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, and Raw, I had all on the Super Nintendo. Yep. But on the Genesis, they had different, not completely different, but different enough Raw. Well, not as much Raw. No, I think Raw made...
No, Raw had the same... I'm looking at it right now.
Well, the 32X Raw had one additional
32X Raw had one extra character, but, which was not worth purchasing.
But Super WrestleMania and Royal Rumble, and they had characters on the Genesis version I actually would have preferred on Super Nintendo. I think like the Bulldog was on one of them. Duggan, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was in one of them.
Yeah, so for the Rumble... for the Rumble on the Genesis, I believe these were the different characters. Because I don't remember them, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember them on Super Nintendo. Hacksaw Jim Duggan was on this version. Papa Shango, was he on the Super Nintendo?
I don't think he was.
What about Rick Martel?
I'm actually trying to pull up and find the rosters. Yeah.
Because on Genesis, like I thought there were four different ones in it. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Rick Martel, Papa Shango, and I want to say IRS were not on the Super Nintendo.
So I have it right here. Thank you, Wikipedia. So both versions shared seven wrestlers.
Oh, there were five different.
So Bret Hart, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, Randy Savage, Crush, and the Narcissist, Lex Luger. The other differences, the Super Nintendo had Ric Flair, Mr. Perfect, Ted DiBiase, Yokozuna, and Tatanka. Now, why I didn't get the Genesis version, I never bought the Genesis version until recently, and to this day, I don't know why. Genesis had Hulk Hogan. I don't know why I didn't buy it automatically.
I didn't realize Hogan wasn't on.
Hogan was not on the Super Nintendo, but he was on Genesis. IRS was on Genesis. Jim Duggan, the model Rick Martel, and Papa Shango.
Yeah, see? So for that one, you had completely different rosters. For Super WrestleMania...
I am pretty sure it's the same thing with Super WrestleMania.
Well, no, for Super WrestleMania, you only had eight characters, if I remember correctly.
They were exclusives.
There were exclusives, because British Bulldog was on Super WrestleMania.
What? Yep.
And the Ultimate Warrior was on Super WrestleMania.
For Genesis,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the only three that were shared between the two were Hogan, Savage, and DiBiase. Super Nintendo.
Oh, right, because didn't you have Earthquake and Typhoon, Jake Roberts?
Yeah, Super Nintendo had Jake the Snake Roberts, The Undertaker, Sid Justice, LOD, and the Natural Disasters. Mm-hmm. Where Genesis had Warrior, Papa Shango, IRS, the British Bulldog, and Shawn Michaels. Why does that sound like less number of players?
One, no, two, it's eight. I'm looking at it. Eight and eight.
Oh, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2.
Yeah. Well, see, and this was.
No, wait a minute. No, hold on.
You had 8 and 8.
Hogan, Savage, and DiBiase.
Yeah.
3. And then on Genesis, Warrior, Papa Shango, IRS, Bulldog, and Sean. Yeah. And then 3. And then Jake Roberts, Undertaker, Sid Justice, LOD, and the Natural Disasters. They were 10 on Super Nintendo.
Oh, so they had 2 more.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one. That's interesting. Yeah, but again, like I said, the reason why I think they split rosters like that is so that you would buy both, or you would pick one or the other. You know what I mean?
Wait, there's more. Hold on. There's more to these differences here. Look at this. The Genesis version has a WWE Championship mode that Super Nintendo did not have.
The Ultimate Tournament match. Yep.
Wow.
You've never played it, have you?
No, I honestly, I never did. Does Royal Rumble have different gameplay?
Well, I'm looking at Super WrestleMania, and here's my instruction booklet.
You know, to this day, I swear I did a chokehold with The Undertaker, and I've only done it once, and I think it was a hidden move or something that wasn't supposed to be in the game.
Oh, interesting. I thought everybody had a chokehold. But anyway, yeah, so again, that was part of Sega's appeal, or mm-hmm. Sega and Super Nintendo at the time, with a different one, before we stray.
No, that was just it. I literally, that's all new stuff that I just learned. That was really interesting.
Yeah, see? Well, learning is fun.
There you go.
It's fundamental. And then we didn't talk about the Sega Saturn very much, and I know we've been talking a lot, but and neither of us really had a Sega Saturn, and I recently got one, and of course, mm-hmm. Shining Force 3, which I haven't played yet, so itching. Even though I have the Saturn and I can play it.
Yes. I may buy a Saturn from Game On. They got one in box. I can't wait till February. Meanwhile, hold on. Let me just say this. We're talking about the Polymega. Polymega is now putting up more videos and more photos on Instagram than they ever have before, and they delayed themselves till February. And I'm like, can you please stop teasing us?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we know their systems exist because they sent them out to people for tests.
Exactly. So,
and then obviously, Sega's last system, the Dreamcast,
yes.
which unfortunately did not have enough third-party support, which I think was what eventually killed it.
Yeah, but it's a great system.
Oh no, it's an amazing system because we talked about Sonic Adventure, mm-hmm. and I know I brought this game up a million times before that you can't really find Illbleed, mm. which is basically a horror movie yep. game, which is really fun. Resident Evil Code Veronica, Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, which I played on Dreamcast, which was awesome. Space Channel 5, music game, which I absolutely love. Getting your new one soon, right? Yes, should be coming soon, and then of course. The definitive Tony Hawk game, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. I played 1 and 2 on Dreamcast. Now I have it for PS4 as well. But they looked and played better on Dreamcast than
they did
on the PlayStation.
For me, I remember Dreamcast and college because I got the Dreamcast when I went to college. And that's what I remember mostly from that, playing, you know, in the dorm, all those games. Dreamcast was, you know, that was the first system where we're like, oh, wow, this mm-hmm. is the arcade game in my living room.
Yep.
This is phenomenal. And then even like the memory card, what yep. they call it? VMU, I think.
The VMU.
Yeah.
The VMU.
Mm-hmm. Was, you know, like a little Tamagotchi type thing, which I tried playing.
Hold on. I think I have it handy.
Do you? And then, of course, the weird positioning of the wire on the controller. And while you're doing that, oh, there it is. Yep. There you go.
VMU. Wonder if it still works.
You can change the battery.
I wonder if the battery is like bled in there or something. It's been in there forever.
Yikes.
Because this is my original Dreamcast controller. So.
And then the Dreamcast was just never hooked it up to the internet, even though it was capable of doing that.
Yep.
But yeah, the Dreamcast was really a good kind of swan song, as they say.
They went out with a great system.
They did.
And you remember the Royal Rumble game that came out?
Yes, that Dreamcast, was pure arcade. Was
so much fun.
And then I just want to quickly mention on the handheld side, the Game Gear was amazing. I remember picking up the Game Gear at the Wiz. That's where I got it. And some of the games on Game Gear, all the Sonic games on Game Gear, Tails mm-hmm. Adventure. Batman Returns I had, which I loved playing on Game Gear.
The X-Men games on Game Gear. That was the reason why I bought a Game Gear at Funko Land, because I wanted the X-Men games.
And of course, the Game Gear taking 6 AA batteries and only lasting like 30 minutes, it felt like.
Yep, pretty much.
The TV adapter. It had a TV adapter, mm-hmm. which I never had.
Yep.
You can't use it nowadays, or at least not here in North America. or at least in the US.
What about the, did you have the Nomad?
I was just going to say, cause I'm staring at it here. I only got the Nomad recently. The Nomad is basically a portable Genesis from Sega. Mm-hmm. You can hook it up to the TV and you can plug a controller into it for two player action, but the Nomad, I've gotten some use out of the Nomad. Nomad's actually really cool. And speaking of which, you know, we're so used to, you know, probably one of the final things to talk about, or at least on my end. We're so used to systems coming out and then like the slim version coming out and then like a pro version coming out. Nintendo did it. Super Nintendo did it. But Genesis really did it, because Genesis did it four times. They came out with the giant Genesis model version one. Right. Mm-hmm. And then version two, which I think is probably more what we're used to, because I got version two. When I got a Genesis, it was a V2.
Yeah, I believe mine was a V2 as
which was a smaller compact version. And then I remember. Yes. Is it the V2?
Yeah, the V2.
And then I remember when I went to college, I picked up a version 3, which is even a smaller Genesis.
Yep.
Which didn't hook up to a Sega CD or anything. Nope. But I remember it was only like $30.
Yep. Yeah, but because they shrunk it down and it was just the Genesis.
Yeah. And but it was a Genesis. And then the Nomad, I would consider the fourth one. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like seeing all those different iterations.
Well, don't forget also the CDX, which could play Genesis as well.
True. But I wouldn't consider that like a that's just convenience, really. Right. And then of course the Sega CD had its couple of models, but you know.
And how about my purchase, the JVC Xi?
Yes, and which is weird, like that weird third party, you know, conglomeration.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, bottom line, all good memories of the Sega, even though I'm still through and through Nintendo.
Yep.
Sega definitely had a place in the home, had some great games on it, some exclusive games on it. And as soon as that damn Polymega shows up, I'm definitely going to go even more hard with Genesis games to try and find some really great gems.
Yeah. And I think we both should, because like I'm looking at my collection and I'm like, wow, there are a lot of games I used to own that I don't have anymore. And I'm like, I think I need to start looking more at my Sega collection to build it up.
Exactly. I think we're both going to do that. All right. Excellent. Great trip down memory lane. Hey, 32X. There we go.
Talk about it. Thank you very much, Fernando, for the topic.
Yes.
And we're sorry that we're so Nintendo heavy.
I'm not. I'm going to go play the Switch. All right. And where can they find us?
You guys can find us at www.theretrogamers.com if you're still into our actual website. Facebook.com/RetroGamersPodcast, on Instagram at RetroGamersPodcast, on Twitter at RetroGamersPod. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are absolutely everywhere. And you can watch us on YouTube or Instagram TV.
Yes, absolutely. And with that, folks, we'll be back next week. And enjoy your week.
You enjoy your week as well.
Absolutely. And we will catch you everywhere next week, hopefully, on the Retro Gamers Podcast.